The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depths of his spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." Then he left them, got into the boat again, and went off to the other shore. The Gospel of the Lord. So in our first reading from the book of Genesis, we hear the story of Cain and Abel. And it's also the story of two firsts in the Bible. It's the first time man ever defiantly questions God. And it's also the first time that the Bible ever mentions the word sin. Quick look at each one of those two. It's the first time the Bible ever mentions the word sin, and as you know, it's not going to be the last time. Because sin, unrepented, always begets more sin. It's an important principle to understand. Sin unrepented always comes back with interest and begets more sin, and the sin of envy led to the sin of anger. And anger led to hatred. And hatred led to murder. You know what else you see evidence of this in the book of Genesis? Have you ever noticed that in the book of Genesis, there's an ever-decreasing length of people's lifespans? I don't know if you've ever paid attention, but you go back to the early pages of the book of Genesis, and you'll find these people live these ridiculously long lives. Like Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. And I wasn't there. I don't know if he actually did live to be 969, but I can tell you this for certain. The decreasing length of lifespans in the book of Genesis is definitely symbolic of the decaying effect that sin has on God's beautiful creation. Such that Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. By the time we get to Moses, he dies at the age of 120. By the time we get to the Psalms, it tells us that our lifespan is 70 years, or 80 for those who are strong. And then in the book of Genesis, story of Cain and Abel, we hear another first. It's the first time man ever defiantly questions God. "Where is your brother?" God asks. "I don't know," Cain answers. "Am I my brother's keeper?" First time man ever defiantly questions God, but as you know, it won't be the last time. How many times a day do we defiantly question God in the privacy of our own minds? How many times a day? Honestly, in a way of looking at it, we speak out one side of our mouth one thing and out the other side an entirely other thing. At one moment we say to God, "Thy will be done." And the very next we say, "But you know, can I just give you a little bit of advice? You just listen to me, Lord. I'll fix everything. I'll fix the problems in the church. I'll fix the problems in politics. Let me tell you what I'm going to do," we say to the Lord. But there's one thing I can guarantee you will never do. You'll never volunteer to go die on the cross for the sake of some guilty sinner who committed the sins out of his own deliberate free will. You'd never do that. But the real God does. And doesn't that tell us something about how much higher God's ways are than our own ways? What we need is just a little bit of humility. The Pharisees could have used a little bit of humility here today in the gospel. They demanded a sign from Jesus. And this after Jesus had just done so many signs. He just finished healing the Syrophoenician woman, and he just finished healing the man born deaf, and he just finished multiplying the loaves and the fishes. See, the fact of the matter is the Pharisees didn't really want a sign. What they wanted was that God would act on their own terms. That's what Cain wanted. And if we're honest with ourselves, that's what we want too. It's prideful. It's a real spiritual problem. But would you believe that there's a way out of the spiritual problem? And it's in our readings today. It's in the psalm response. You want to save yourself decades of spiritual heartache? Then take to heart the words that you said when you said the psalm response. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. If you want to save yourself decades of spiritual heartache, a little spiritual practice to pick up. Offer to God a sacrifice of praise. Make the sacrifice of praising the Lord before you understand. And He'll reward you. It's very hard to do, but the reward is very great peace. Now, don't misunderstand when I say that. Our Catholic tradition has a strong intellectual component. When you enter the Catholic Church, you don't check your mind in at the door. We don't ever stop trying to understand, but first we believe. Like St. Augustine said, fides querens intellectum, faith seeking understanding. Begin with an act of faith. Begin with an act of praise, and God will lead you to understanding. Jesus' best friends always praise the Lord before they understand. Let you and I be among them, shall we? And ask for the prayers of the saints to help us today. Holy founders of the Order of the Servites, pray for us.